Okay, take a big breath. Ah. So, how many of you were successful in changing something significant? So, excellent. By the way, once you've done this, you don't usually have to keep doing it over and over. It's usually done, over with, and finished. And I think the reason of that is because you're finally getting the exit. And if you think about things, for example, like injuries that do not become traumatic, they're things that you exited. And the ones that you keep moving around on, you get through faster. By the way, you can do this like immediately after an accident. One time I had a secretary and she was driving somewhere and she stopped at a stoplight and somebody rear-ended her. And she called me from the doctor's office. She had whiplash. She didn't know how severe it was, but it turned out it was pretty severe. And we just did it on the phone. And I think it made a huge difference for her. So you can do it right away. One time Chris and I were, when we used to live up in Sacramento, we were at this mall in Citrus Heights. It was holiday time and we were buying gifts and stuff. And we'd parked in this annex parking lot because it was so crowded. And it was dark and no lights there. Walking. So I stepped out, walked a few steps from my car, and I stepped in a hole. And my... I know. What is that? Yeah. These holes. Anyway. And my ankle went... And Chris said, "Are you all right?" And I said, "No, I couldn't put any weight on it." I suddenly sat down. So, actually, the car was about a block away at that point. So she said, "Well, I'll go get the car and just wait here." And so she went and got the car. So the first thing I did was this. Remember this from last time? And I did that several times. Then I ran it backwards a few times. We went to the ER, and the doctor came out and examined it. And he said, "You know, I think you've got a pretty good sprain here, but I don't think it's broken. Because you'd be in a lot more pain than this." And then he comes back with the x-rays. He goes, "You've got a pretty bad break here." He said, but you should be in a lot more pain than this. He said, "Have you been drinking?" And I said, "No." And I started to say, "Well, I've been moving my eyes back and forth," and ran it backwards a few times. I thought, then he's going to give me some other kind of medication. But anyway, I just told him I did some hypnosis with it. And he said, "Well, keep doing it because you should be in a lot more pain." So anyway, I left to this really wonderful nurse that was just a real nice human person. On the way out, she said, "Take these with you." And I said, "What are those?" And she said, "Those are pain pills." And I said, oh yeah?" And I said, "I don't need them. I can, you know, I've got a lot of tools I can do it." She said, "No, take them." And I said, "No, I don't need them." She said, "Please." She said, "I don't want to worry about you all night." She said, "If you don't take these, you're going to wake up at 2 in the morning writhing in pain." And I thought, you know, that's the kind of curse we get. And if I'd taken it in, who knows, if I believed her, that could have been something that bothered me. So I took him for... I tossed him out on the way out, but I didn't want her to worry or feel bad. So anyway, you can do this immediately. You can do it later. You can do it years later. I was telling one group, I was telling Candace and Diane, I had a guy that was injured. He was a football player at Air Force years ago. I guess... I saw him when he was 50, so it would have been however old that would have been, at least 25 years or more. And he had a knee injury in playing football, and his knees were still bothering him and getting worse over the years. And the doctor said, "Well, we can do the surgery, but I can't guarantee it's going to work 100% of the time." And so we did this, and he was like 98% better, and he got better. He was having trouble even walking his dog like fast, yeah.
Regarding the future phase part of that process. In this trauma case of a hurt knee, I can't get my head around how do you ask someone what could you do differently, or do you do that?
Oh, yeah.
With the phobia, I get it, but with the trauma and the knee, how do you not?
We could have done he had a lot of things he could have done differently. One of the things they train you if you're on a American football team is how to fall down or get, if you get hit, what do you do? And he did the wrong thing.
Oh, okay.
So. And he knew it at the moment.
Okay.
So instead, he just replayed it a bunch of times, getting hit and then falling, doing what he was taught to do in training that he didn't do.
I have a question.
He was trying to do something. If he had stopped, he would have been fine, but he tried to go the extra yard. Then he got hit again, and if he hadn't done that, it wouldn't happen. So.
I'm just wondering if it's useful at labor and delivery.
Sure.
Try it.
Try it? It sounds like a lot of work to try that one. You have to get pregnant, wait 9 months, and then do it. We could certainly do it. By the way, you can do this on all kinds of things. I do it. Sometimes I've done it with people before they've ever had their trauma, because you can predict certain traumas. How many of you have had a root canal? Have any of you had that? They're not very pleasant. But you can do this ahead of time. And then when you go, then it helps a lot. So
people will go to the doctor and say, yeah, root canal's coming up.
You don't want to do it that hard. I think you can go there without them having the trauma of it. Now, if they've had the root canal, you can do all of that, or an operation or whatever somebody's had. So you can try it ahead of time as well as afterwards. If somebody's had a particularly painful childbirth.
What about the child? I haven't had a child yet, but one of my best friends just gave birth in December, and she kept on saying, oh, the birth center was so traumatic, it was so traumatic, and obviously I didn't know this process yet, but I did know that, shrinking it down, and we played with some modalities, and she said it helped her a lot. That when she would think about it again, it wasn't so intense in her face and just full of trauma. So, definitely
good. The wonderful thing about so many of these is it doesn't take that long. And if people even think it through with the goal of healing, that's all you do. It makes a big difference. Anybody here a coach? Like a life coach, and you coach people? Traditional coaching is mostly helping people sort out what it is they want and then keep on track to getting it. And if people get really clear about what they want, they'll already start organizing their behavior to get there. So just by having somebody who's pregnant say, yeah, my goal and intent is to go ahead and have that baby and do it in a relaxed and comfortable way. So often with childbirth, I think the pain comes from fear and contraction, and I'm seeing people that look like they're maybe mothers nodding and say, yeah, I know what that is, rather than pain is often not the thing itself, it's what we do around the pain. Pain's often in your head, in a sense. So then we contract and do all these things. Okay, so what questions do you have? Do you have a sense of where you'd use this and when?
So yeah, Nancy? Did you use this before you were having, say, a root canal or something? Then you would go through the whole imagining it, further away? I mean, you would go through this whole process?
Yeah. What about the rehearsing the solution part if nothing had happened yet?
Well, I go at least through this first part.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
So but the solution part is going to be even better. Remember the very first weekend? I think Larry taught New Behavior Generator. Mm-hmm. That's where you watch yourself doing something you don't want to do, then rehearse doing it the way you do want to do. So what I stuck onto the end of here is sort of like New Behavior Generator, right? So you could go ahead and, even if it's ahead of time, rehearse a bunch of times how you want to have it. You're teaching your body what to do in that. And Susie, who you all know, has a number of CDs that she's produced. One was preparing for a medical intervention. And that, she's got a tremendous amount of positive feedback on that. But a lot of that has to do with what do you want to experience when you have this? And these kind of things work really well. If you want your blood to not flow to that spot, you can set your intent and make it flow less. And people often have very different experiences with that. Okay. Yes?
So just interesting, because in the first couple of weekends, we would when we disassociated and associated, we often asked the person to think about how they felt, what they were seeing and all that. In this case, it's a phobia, so you don't want to get that person there. So you're just actually right up front.
You want to elicit a little bit of it, not a lot of it. Mm-hmm. And if somebody's had a really nasty experience, all they need is a little hit of it. And the only reason is that you want to have them thinking about that context. But you're right, yeah, you don't want to say, what was it like,
Do they have to tell you what a phobia is, or can they just talk on a no. level?
No. They could tell you, yes, they can do it without content. You can do everything without content. The challenge with it would be I'd want to know at least what the phobia was about. Because sometimes people can do something unecological if the fear is gone. So if you went and had a ski accident because you skied down a black diamond you weren't ready for, and now you go and you think, I can do that again, but you're not really prepared, you could be in trouble. Or if somebody has a height phobia, one person, I remember years ago, Richard Bandler was telling us that he had somebody in a training and they did this first part of the process on a height phobia. And then he told the person, he said, in lunch hour, why don't you go test it? Because they were in a high-rise building. And so at lunch hour, he went out and, somebody said he was kind of hanging out the window in a dangerous way. And he said, so they pulled it, they said, move away from there, that's not very smart. And he said, later the guy said, I just never seen it before. It was so amazing. And I, felt so safe. And so sometimes people don't have good judgment. So you want to make sure that you build in the ecology later. Like, test it gently. You don't want to test it stupidly. Like, I wouldn't want Kira to go jump in a car with somebody that had, a couple of cocktails and then drive home. Stuff like that. Okay. Any other comments, questions? Mo.
What is it, the last, I guess the transition from the last two, from that step to that step,
I just say, when they've done here, I say, once they've run it backwards, three or four times, I'll say, what's it like now for you? And I want to see a state shift that shows it's better. And with Kira, I saw something, but it didn't look totally done to me. And she would do that consciously. So.
Okay, so once that, then when you rehearse the solution.
Then you say, what have you learned? What's your solution? What do you know now that you didn't know then? What was going on in your life that could have contributed to this? Even if it seems out of your control. Kira, would it be okay to share with the group what you told me?
Oh, sure.
Because I think you sort of said it, but you said it differently to me.
Yeah, I said something about possible resistance with this process might be that when you're asked to come up with a solution, then it makes the person feel like they're responsible for the trauma or the accident or whatever happening, which you might have seen. I was definitely resistant to, accepting responsibility that it was my fault that it happened. And but I think once you get over that, then you can come up with solutions, and then you can feel a lot more empowered. Mm-hmm. So
that's what I think really helped make it work for you, right? So I think that's a real key to it, is having the person. You ever wonder, sometimes you think they were just in the wrong place at the wrong time doing the wrong thing. So what got them to be in the wrong place at the wrong time doing the wrong thing? And how many of you haven't known why, but you've sensed that? I shouldn't be here, or something bad could happen here. We've all had that, right?
Yeah.
And if you get those intuitions, it might be a good time to listen to them rather than, I've had that happen with people. I said, well, it wasn't my fault, but I did have a hunch I shouldn't have gone there. So sometimes some party is picking up stuff that you may not be totally conscious of. So I think if you can build in that responsibility and control piece, you're going to do a lot of good for people. Yeah?
So is this all about control? I mean, you keep saying control.
Well, only because
controlling yourself, because your emotions.
That came up in a couple of questions. But it's not about control, but I think it's about choice. Yeah, it's having choice, like Bakira, what I ultimately want was she could sit and say, well, I could ride with that person, but I don't think they're going to listen to me. I don't want to be with that kind of a driver. Or, I think it's, we're not going to be on a curvy road, so I think it's reasonably safe. So she has a choice about who she rides with. But she has a control over her mouth. So she can say, if I'm nervous and scared, or stop the car and let me out. Whatever. Yeah, it's more choice than control, since I'm trying to control all that stuff. But choice about that. If I get a big intuition, I shouldn't be in this place or with these people or something like that, I should probably listen to that